Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, providing the financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Thrivent Financial. Let's thrive.
Gushing toward a milestone.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. The price of crude oil has been on a tear, up nearly $30 since mid-August. Today we could see $100 the barrel. Crude climbed to a record $98 overnight. Heating oil season is almost here, that's one factor. Another was a severe storm yesterday in the North Sea, disrupting production there. But the bigger reason behind oil's ascent is that collapsing dollar, an all-time low against the euro this morning. Higher oil, weaker dollar, sounds inflationary. Worries over higher inflation sent the price of gold to a 27-year high overnight. In Asia, the major stock markets were mixed. Japan's Nikkei fell, but the market in Hong Kong mirrored yesterday's run on Wall Street. A late-session rally had the Dow up 117 to 13,660. The S&P picked up 18 points. The Nasdaq was higher by 30. In Europe this morning, major stock markets have moved lower. For the markets today, a report from the Federal Reserve on the health of the consumer. Paul Brandis has a preview.
The death of the American consumer has been proclaimed countless times, yet through good times and bad, folks have always kept on spending. But now, with oil prices at record levels and the housing market heading south, the prognosis for consumer spending isn't good.
It is deteriorating, and I think it will be deteriorating at an increasing pace as we get closer to the holiday season.
Joshua Shapiro is chief economist at Maria Fiorini Ramirez in New York. He says the data he's looking at indicates consumers now are more interested in getting out of debt than adding more red ink.
The housing bubble pushed home prices to ridiculous levels. Now with home prices heading south fairly quickly, that game is over, and I think the consumers will be really trying to get balance sheets on much sounder footing.
The Fed report due today gives September credit figures. Shapiro says no matter what that shows, things have gotten worse since then. I'm Paul Brandis for Marketplace.
General Motors has revealed losses for the third quarter are likely to be worse than expected. You can blame poor trading conditions in Germany as well as the U.S. From the European desk, Stephen Beard reports.
Analysts were already expecting plenty of red ink when GM unveiled its third quarter figures today. But yesterday, the car company added to the gloom. It announced that it was writing down the value of its tax allowances to the tune of $39 billion. The company's identified what it calls a number of significant negative factors, among them big losses on GM operations in Germany, the US and Canada. The company also points to the third quarter loss of $2.3 billion at the real estate arm of its part-owned financial services group. In the near term, says GM, the auto market remains challenging. But the company insists it faces a rosier future, armed with its new product range and its new deal with the labor unions. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The nation's top two brewers are in a head-to-head advertising battle. Over the weekend, Miller Brewing launched a new TV spot. It takes a shot at an old Anheuser-Busch campaign. It's got the Bud wagon pulled by Clydesdales, a Dalmatian riding along. Along comes a truck proclaiming Miller Lite has half the carbs of Bud Light. Dog jumps on the Miller truck and rides away. So yesterday, Anheuser-Busch takes out a full-page ad in USA Today. Picture of a Dalmatian telling Miller, keep up the bad work, and noting Anheuser-Busch will donate to animal rescue groups across the U.S. This morning in USA Today, a Miller ad concluding, the facts on light beer speak for themselves.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. And by Medtronic. partnering with physicians, patients, and diabetes educators to provide better glucose control for long-term diabetes management. Medtronic.com. And by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to an energy-independent America by increased use of public transportation at publictransportation.org.
Examining our relationship with money may be something few consider doing. An artist from New York City made it her quest, and it meant giving her savings away. Nick Vanderkolt has more.
Like most of us, performance artist Sarah Julie is terrified at the thought of living without a regular paycheck every 2 weeks. And she's held down a 9-to-5 job most of her adult life. She's used to confronting her fears through her art, but when it came to letting go of her anxiety around money, she realized she would really, really have to let go.
That's when I came up with the idea of cashing out my entire savings account, of which I have, or had at the time, $5,000.
It works like this. Over the course of an hour-long dance, Sarah hands out her savings to an audience until every last dollar is gone. There's a box near the exit where people can give it back, but they can just as easily stick it in their pockets. It's not inheritance. She didn't win a lottery.
And every single time I do this last moment, I have the exact same response every time, which is sheer fear.
She also creates these sort of challenges for people, like she'll do this thing where someone has to get the money by reaching into, let's say, potentially embarrassing places. Her husband, Chris Ajamian, who also happens to be her creative director, remembers one time when she offered a couple $100 in her underwear to a guy in the audience.
And he turns to his wife, who's like sitting two like seats down, and says, "Do you still have those rubber gloves in the back?" She's like, "Yes, I do." She screams, goes into her bag, and she pulls out these rubber surgical gloves.
But ultimately, the show isn't just about how the audience reacts, or if people can live with themselves if they don't give back the money.
It's all about reassessing my relationship to cash, of what if I lost everything I had to my name? How would I wake up the next day? What I'm trying to get to at the core is that I would survive.
She might not have a choice about getting to that core if she keeps doing the show, though. After performing many times in New York and Holland, she just about broke even and even gained a bit extra in donations. But after her most recent tour in Australia and New Zealand, she's down to about $3,000. But whether or not the audience ends up taking it all, her greatest fear of losing that money has already come true in a way. That's because it's no longer really money she can spend. It's become a prop for a performance, a really expensive one. In New York, I'm Nick Vanderkolk for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.